the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, happy Friday to you, America. Great to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, we have got a lot of ground to cover. And by the way, open line Friday, so we're going to be taking your calls throughout the program as well. All right, I want you to go ahead and write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Big story developing up on Capitol Hill where Speaker Mike Johnson... Oh, boy. Folks, I just, you know, it is what it is. So it looks as though that Speaker Johnson is going to go back on his word, and he is going to push through the same continuing resolution. May I just say that there's really no difference right now between having a Republican majority in the House and a Democrat majority in the House. And I'm just going to say this as well, that the behavior of Speaker Johnson is not very helpful for all of these lawmakers who are not only trying to maintain control of Congress, but to grow their numbers. So we're going to get into that with Congressman Chip Roy. Also, Robin Poffman's going to join us in just a little while, and we're going to be talking with our good friends over at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. Great people, and they're at all the big conservative events. I mean, it's pretty spectacular. So anyway, I'm also want to give you an update on the story coming out of North Carolina. And, wow. All right. So here's the deal. It's a mess. It's an ugly, sordid, seedy mess. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on. All right. I don't know who to believe. I know that I want to believe who I want to believe, but it's just, folks, it's hard. It's hard. Now, after the show came out, the CNN report was released alleging all sorts of horrible, horrible things that Mark Robinson had done in his past. And by his past, I believe the dates go back to the early to mid 2000s. And look, here's my take on it. And you, if you're in North Carolina, I'm very curious to hear from some of our North Carolina listeners on this. Robinson came out, the lieutenant governor came out and denied all of it, said none of it is true. It is all 1,000% false. The state GOP put out a statement yesterday, which at its very best was somewhat tepid in its endorsement of the lieutenant governor. So it's too late now. He's the guy, and it doesn't matter what he did. You can either vote for him or you don't have to vote for him, but that's where it is. Do I believe that people were leaking this garbage? Yeah, I do. Probably some Republicans, because, you know, he's not an establishment Republican guy. Here's my question, and this will really form this has formed my take on this, whatever this is. And some people are calling it a scandal. You can call it what you want. But my take on it is this. And by the way, I have conservatives that I know in North Carolina, and they are just very concerned. I'll leave it at that. So if all of this happened before he converted to Christianity and became a church-going, you know, believer in God, if all of this happened before, then I'm, you know, okay. I mean, it's a horrible thing, but you know what? We've all done terrible things in our life. I don't think we've been to Nude Africa websites, but you know, you've done some stuff. Maybe gotten a speeding ticket. I know you haven't watched transgender porn, but you still, you know, breaking the law is a sin is a sin, right? Whether you're driving through a stop sign or, you know, watching porn. I don't know. I'm just telling you, it's tough. It's tough. So all that to say is if all of that happened in his past and he is a new man, then we should celebrate that, right? I mean, that's what we're called to do. So therefore, if that's the case, I don't have a problem with it. on the other hand, if in fact this stuff happened, which he says didn't happen, even though it's his email and all, anyway, if it did happen after the fact, then that would be an issue for me. So there you go. That's my take. I'm just glad I don't live in North Carolina right now. But I am coming to your state next week, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. And I really am curious to hear the take from North Carolinians on this, because you can go either way. And I'm just wondering if this is going to impact anybody's votes at all. I suspect if you're a Republican, you're still going to vote for the guy. But if you're an independent, I don't know, what do you do if you're an independent voter in North Carolina? Can we talk about Kamala Harris? Last night, Kamala Harris did a sit-down interview with Oprah. And I'm not sure that this actually helped Kamala Harris. And it gives us also some insight into why she has refused thus far to sit down with any major professional journalist. And I do not consider Oprah to be a professional journalist. I just don't. She's a lady talk show host. So here is, first of all, I want to play this from Kamala Harris. And she's going on and on and on about America. Cut number two.
We love our country. I love our country. I know we all do. That's why everybody's here right now. We love our country. We take pride in the privilege of being American. And this is a moment where we can and must come together as Americans, understanding we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let's come together with the character that we are so proud of about who we are, which is we are an optimistic people. We are an optimistic people. Americans, by character, are people who have dreams and ambitions and aspirations. We believe in what is possible. We believe in what can be. And we believe in fighting for that. That's how we came into being. Because the people before us understood that one of the greatest expressions for the love of our country, one of the greatest expressions of patriotism, is to fight for the ideals of who we are, which includes freedom to make decisions about your own body, freedom to be safe from gun violence, freedom to have access to the ballot box, freedom to be who you are and just be, to love who you love openly and with pride, freedom to just be. And that's who we are. We believe in all that. And so this is a moment where we stand knowing what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against. It's what we're fighting for.
Thank you.
What in the sweet name of Mother Liberty did we just listen to, ladies and gentlemen? What was that? This is insane. A complete and total cringe fest. It was so bad. I was trying to watch it, and then poor Oprah's having to step in and trying to help people understand the word salad that was spewing out of Kamala's mouth. It was insane. What is going on there? Oh, by the way, this is a very interesting take. Kamala talking about guns. Cut number one.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that.
But
my staff will deal with that later.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So she dropped into the other accent there. Somebody be coming into my house, they'd be getting shot. Okay. All right. Well, whatever you do, don't put the body in the bathtub. Okay, got the collard greens back there. So look, remember when Joe Biden was talking about shooting people through the screen door on his porch with the shotgun? Wow. What is this all about here, folks? This is absolute insanity. The more she sits down for these interviews, the worse she gets, and the more popular it is, Donald Trump is becoming. As a matter of fact, new survey out, Jewish voters, Trump getting 40% of their support. I'm telling you, folks, this is going to be huge. Here's the headline from Breitbart. Trump challenges Jewish voters to do better than 40%. And I will say that by segueing into what happened at UNC Chapel Hill, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where yesterday you had about 200 students and faculty members that rampaged across the campus. And they damaged, there was heavy damage to a number of buildings. But I want to direct your attention to what happened at the ROTC building. They have the Navy ROTC building, the armory. And the mob actually heavily damaged the ROTC armory. They draped a Palestinian flag over the gun turret. They spray painted all these horrible messages. Then they literally tore down and threw away the American flag, and they raised a Palestinian flag outside of the ROTC building. Now, I just have a very simple question here. Why were the ROTC members not authorized to use force to defend their building? I get it. These young people are not official members of the military yet, but they're members of the ROTC. They should have a right to defend their building on American soil from the enemy. I'm not saying just go out there and shoot people. I'm saying you could tase them. You could use the bear spray. I mean, you could do a lot of things. You don't have to use lethal force, but I think you do have to use force to protect your building. But it seems to me that as soon as the anti-Semites desecrated the ROTC building, that became an act of war against the United States. That's what I say. And by the way, these are all buildings that are paid for by our tax dollars. Come on, North Carolina, what the heck? So anyway, the student newspaper doing a good job of covering all of this, and UNC releasing a statement. They say about 150 people entered academic buildings. They disrupted classes. Let me stop you there. They literally targeted Jewish classes. There were Jewish study classes, and they went in and they targeted the Jews that were in those classes. This is despicable. While we do not believe there is an ongoing threat to personal safety, the group caused disruptions, vandalized a number of buildings, and caused significant damage. You ready for this bombshell, ladies and gentlemen? Not a single person at UNC Chapel Hill was arrested. Not a one. Not a one. What do you make of that? So again, it just seems to me everybody involved, all 150 people, and my understanding is there are faculty members that were in this mob. All of them should be identified. We should expel them from the university. They should be fired if they have jobs at the university. And then they should be facing felony charges. Send them down to Gitmo. You want to attack the ROTC building? We're going to put you in a cell next to Ahmed or Abdul. You know what? Give them a pager while you're at it. So look, here's the deal. I don't get it. If you remember a couple of months ago, you had the UNC frat boys at Chapel Hill, and you had another anti-Semitic mob out there, and they tried to target Old Glory, and the frat boys came marching in, and they defended Old Glory. And, of course, you know all the accolades they've been getting. So it seems to me the ROTC, number one, should have been given permission to defend their building no matter the cost, or at the very least, pick up the phone and call Fraternity Row and see if they could send some backup. I'm just telling you, those frat boys would have taken care of business. 901-260-5926. We're going to take a break. When we come back, going to the phones, it is Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about today, we're going to talk about. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. $1,000 and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. No, I just look. I get a bee in my bonnet, Dylan, because we're talking about the American flag. And when I see these people tearing down Old Glory and raising the flag of an enemy nation, you better believe I get fired up about it. And to me, that's an act of war. As a matter of fact, any of that mob, anybody in that mob who is not a U.S. citizen, they need to be immediately expelled from the country. Get them on a plane and get them out of here. And I'm not talking about a Delta plane. Get them on, I don't know what, what's Southwest? Air Allegiant? What is that? Allegiant? Yeah, Spirit Airline. Get them out of here. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's start our conversation in Oregon with Mike on KYKN. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Good morning, Todd. You know, I just listened to that topic you were talking about with Marv Robinson there, and everybody's pointing the finger at him and passing judgment on him for something he did however many years ago concerning the pornography. And what I don't understand is that this is a poison in our society that has been normalized and has affected at least 90 to 95% of the population, and yet they're judging him for something he did years ago when it seems to be everybody seems to be perfectly okay with it. So what is the problem? That makes absolutely no sense how they can judge somebody for that.
Look, Mike, look, and I've got no problem with people having this conversation, but for me, it's the hypocrisy of it all. So if you're because he did nothing illegal. I mean, all the things that the allegations, they're sordid, they're tawdry. It's something that you would whisper about in the, you know, the sizzler at lunch after church on Sunday. I get that, but there's nothing illegal there. But if you're going to have that conversation, Mike, with the next governor of North Carolina, then you need to start asking, we need to start asking some serious questions about what exactly Kamala Harris was doing down on her knees back in the day.
You can bet that all those people up there in the House and Senate, Congress, and all those people, most of them men up there have had that problem in their life at one time or another. It's something that has happened with our society.
Well, it's sick and it's disgusting. But you're right. I mean, he is not cheating on his wife, and a good many of people. I'm just going to tell you that Capitol building. If you take the family, ladies and gentlemen, hear me on this. If you take the family down to Washington, D.C. For a visit, a tour of the Capitol building, I would make sure your kids were wearing gloves and you had wet wipes, because there's some nasty stuff going on down under the dome. I'm just telling you. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
It's a whorehouse. It's a taxpayer-funded whorehouse.
And where I work up here in Oregon, and I drive all over Portland every day, and there are more strip clubs and adult bookstores and things like that all over Portland. You can't even imagine how many there are up here. There's got to be at least 50 to 100 just in this city.
Mm-mm-mm. And I'd be willing to wager a Chick-fil-A sandwich there are a lot of Baptists and Methodists in that parking lot, Mike. I'm just saying. And politicians, Republicans and Democrats. All right, Mike, we got a skedaddle. A good call. 901-260-5926, our number. And that's it. It's the hypocrisy. Okay, fine. You want to talk about Mark Robinson? All right. Let's have a little conversation about how Kamala Harris got her start in the business. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Tonight, I'll be hosting Prime News, 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Hope you join us. It's going to be a great show tonight. So a very simple question for you, ladies and gentlemen. Should our daughters, the daughters of America, be drafted into combat? That is the question of the hour. There's a group of lawmakers up on Capitol Hill who are fighting the female draft, and they're calling for Speaker Mike Johnson to oppose any addition of the female draft in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2024. That's the NDAA. That's how you fund the military. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have our good friend from Texas, the 21st Congressional District down there, Congressman Chip Roy, joining us. Congressman, good to have you back on the show.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Congressman, I'm doing well, and I know we've got a lot to talk about here. It just seems to me it's common sense that you would not want the daughters of America being drafted to fight in combat here.
Yeah, Todd, you know, it's Groundhog Day, right? Where we've got the Republicans who are playing right into the hands of this radical woke ideology because they've got some, I think, misguided notion that they've got to sort of, you know, say this is about equality. Look, if you want to go join the military, you can. But don't you come draft my daughter. Right. And they put these things in there, and the Republicans voted for it out of committee, put it into the National Defense Authorization Act in the Senate. And, you know, we've got a good National Defense Authorization Act product in the House that does not draft daughters. So we're making damn clear by sending a letter saying to the speaker, don't you dare bring up the Senate version. Make sure the House version is what we start with. Whatever you do when you're going through and negotiating this stuff out, do not even think about including those provisions just because Democrats want to advance their radical woke ideology. And the fact is they've reduced the standards because they've done this. The Marine Corps conducted a study, which I don't know why you need a study to do it, but they did, the Army changed their physical fitness standards. This argument that women won't be drafted anyway, well, that's absurd. Democrats can't even define what a woman is, right? And the same government that left billions of dollars behind in Afghanistan and abandoned Bagram Air Force Base, that incompetent set of buffoons in the brass at the Pentagon, they'll guarantee you they'll draft our daughters when they decide they need to for the political expediency of doing so. And they will be put in combat roles because that's why the draft exists.
Congressman, I may be a sexist pig for just pointing this out here, but it just seems almost immoral to me to force the women of our country to fight the wars like that.
So that is, for me, the most important point, right? Who are we as a people? Again, if you want, we can debate women being in combat. We can debate women in certain roles. But if you're going to forcibly conscript a female into a combat role, who are we as a people? That is not what we're supposed to be doing. And look, I hear all these people. Like, I support Israel, was happy to pass the bill that I drafted to sanction the International Criminal Court for trying to make Benjamin Netanyahu into a war criminal. God bless them for going after their enemies. And yes, they have women in military service. To be clear, they don't all get drafted into combat roles. They do get, you know, put into specific provisions. But they're a very small country with an entire world focused on them, and we're not Israel. We disagree with Israel on a number of things. But I do not believe that we should have a draft for our daughters. We've got 17 million people in this country of draft registration age and 60 million of fighting age between the age of 18 and 49 who are men. We have plenty of men that we can conscript if necessary because we're a very large country. So we can do this. We can do it the right way, but it is a moral issue. We should not draft our daughters.
I'm with you on that 1,000%. Congressman, can you give us an update on this continuing resolution and the SAVE Act? Where are we with this thing? It's a little confusing for folks.
It is confusing, and that's unfortunate. I believe the president was correct when he called on adding the SAVE Act to any spending bill in September. As such, the SAVE Act, which I drafted, which we passed out of the House with 5 Democrat votes, which would guarantee that we have documentary proof of citizenship to register for federal elections, I believe that's important. We have 22 states that have registration right up through Election Day. I think we ought to fight and send that message and send it to the Senate. You know, I agree with President Trump. The Freedom Caucus took an official position. So a number of us got out and advocated for it. The Speaker embraced it. The Speaker decided to move it. And look, we got almost 200 members of the Republican conference to agree, but some of my colleagues, many of whom are my friends on a lot of different issues, decided to oppose it because they don't support a continuing resolution that continues to fund this broken government. Well, you know what? I agree. But guess what's going to happen? We're going to get a continuing resolution next week with Democrat votes and softer members of the Republican conference. It will get sent over to the Senate, and at no point will we have forced the Senate to eat the vote on the SAVE Act and to pick a fight to try to get the spending bill into March instead of a lame duck in December. It was a strategic error. We had strategic disagreements. I have good friends on both sides of the argument, but at the end of the day, I stick strong behind my position. Do not apologize for it. The president is correct. We should be forcing the Senate to vote on the SAVE Act. We're not doing so because of the members who voted against our play 2 days ago.
Oh, it's so frustrating. And now the argument, and I've heard this, and I wanted to give you a chance to respond. They're saying, well, there's no need to do the SAVE Act because it's already in the Senate chamber, and so there's no need to do it again.
Well, guess what? H.R. 2 is in the Senate chamber. Guess what? Other good bills. We have 5 appropriations bills we've passed out of the House that are in the Senate chamber. The fact is, the whole point of having a spending fight and using the power of the purse is to force the hand of the other side. And so, yeah, it's sitting over there. So what? If we send over the spending bill with the SAVE Act, then they either have to strip it out, eat the vote, or ignore us and send over their own version of the bill, and then we then fire something back. That's how you do things in the home stretch. And the bottom line is, look, 3 years ago, I started advocating for the defund tyranny. Why would we vote to fund the things we oppose? So I'm with my brothers and sisters on that in concept. But you're going to, right now, you're going to fall on that sword and force us not to have done something strategically beneficial, which is to say we're going to freeze spending until Trump is in office, take the pen out of Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer's hands, win the House, win the Senate. Then we'll get busy being fiscally responsible in March, I hope. That's going to take a lot of work, by the way. And we jam them up with the SAVE Act, and if they pass it, great. If they don't, they strip it out. We go after them politically, and then we figure out how to live another day. That's politics. So I'm not going to be one that just goes and falls on my sword so I can get, you know, applauded as being a purist when I know I want to go get all of those things done, right? I can't get all the things I want done in one vote.
What is going on with the leadership there? I get these messages from our listeners, and they're very frustrated with the Speaker's office. Many of them are wondering, well, how is this any different from Kevin McCarthy? What is going on? Do we just have an overall leadership issue within our party right now on Capitol Hill?
What we have is the natural product of a recalcitrant Democrat Party who wants to destroy your way of life in the White House and in the Senate and on the other side of the aisle in the House. That's the truth. They want open borders. They want to spend us into oblivion. They want to destroy our culture and way of life. They're happy with God being out of the schools. They want transgender nonsense. They want a woke military, all the stuff. So then you've got Republicans who are largely aligned, but we have our own divisions. And we're trying to have those fights with a 5-person majority. So the Speaker, whether you're Kevin McCarthy or whether you're Mike Johnson, or whether you're a, just go pick your Freedom Caucus member, you've got to corral 216 votes. And so that's the problem right now. You need leadership to do it. I think with strong leadership, you can knock some heads together, and you got to have people eat things. Like on this one, I would have said to conservatives, you guys want no CR. Guess what? I agree. But you need to do a CR to March so we take the pen out of Democrats' hands. You need to eat that one. I would have said to the appropriators and the hawks, you guys want your big omnibus bill in December. You're not getting it. We're going to have a debate with the new president about how we get spending priorities set. And I would have said, so we're going to do 6 months with the SAVE Act. If they strip out the SAVE Act, we're going to browbeat the hell out of them, and we're going to do a six-month CR, and we're going to leave town. And we're going to do that, or you can kick my ass out of office, but that's what we're doing. That's what I would have tried to do. And, you know, Mike tried to do that, but here we are. So we're going to do a CR into December. Now we're going to have to avoid an omnibus, you know, lame duck big spending bill like we got 2 years ago. And by the way, I'm the only member that I know of besides, I think, Ralph Norman, who is honoring the letter that we put out saying we wouldn't vote for a single senator's bills that got sent over from the Senate to the House who voted for that omnibus $1.7 trillion bill. I'm going to honor the fights that I pick, but you got to pick the right fights.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, I know the House Speaker's a good Christian man. We need to give him like one of those big hardback Bibles that he can just, you know, whop somebody upside the head with, knock some sense into him.
Well, you know, it's a tough job.
I know.
I wish it on anybody, but, you know, we need strong leadership right
now. We do.
But right now, we need to win the White House, win the House, win the Senate. We need to come back, clear the decks in December, not do anything stupid, and then we've got to rock and roll next January. So a lot of us are working on ideas on how to do that with reconciliation, deal with the border, deal with spending, deal with our military getting strong again, but not overspending. There's a lot of work we got to do between now and January, but Lord willing, we got to go get these guys elected.
Love it. All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Know you're a busy guy, and appreciate to you standing firm.
Thanks, Todd. God bless you.
All right, Congressman Chip Roy, everybody, out at District 21 in Texas. And I love Congressman Roy because he's a man of his word, and when he tells you he's going to do something, you can take it to the bank. But don't be surprised, folks. The rumblings are that the Speaker is going to strip the SAVE Act out of this continuing resolution, and basically it's just going to be the spending at Nancy Pelosi levels. I want to go back, though, to what we first talked about. Congressman Roy, Congresswoman Mary Miller, a group of more than 20 lawmakers are now fighting this female draft. And I am curious. I want to hear from you. Should the daughters of America be subjected to a military draft? Should they be sent to the front lines of our nation's wars? Should we be sending our daughters to fight the wars instead of our sons? Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to take a break. It is Open Line Friday. Your calls coming up.
In a world where healthcare costs spiral out of control, ShareRight emerges as the beacon of hope, offering healthcare done the right way. We understand the struggle of balancing health and finances. That's why ShareRight fosters a community of support, where members share medical expenses and encourage one another. Picture saving 30 to 50% on your healthcare bills. With ShareRight, it's not just a dream, it's reality, but it's more than just savings. ShareRight grants you the access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it, from routine checkups to unexpected emergencies. Don't settle for outdated insurance. Join the ShareRight movement and experience healthcare done the right way. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on this Open Line Friday. Let's go to the phones here. Angie in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Angie. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, I've got three things real quick. No, our daughters should never be mandated to go into the military. That's just ludicrous. Two, we have a nephew-in-law that goes to the University of North Carolina, and the flags are starting again with the Palestine crap. And three, we are Trump captains for the state of Georgia, and we've been doing door-to-door canvassing for about 3 months. We have been yelled at, screamed at, shot at, and we've met good people. Here's my question. We want to know why, and it's going back, we want to know why Kamala Harris's campaign is pushing this abortion and saying that Donald Trump and everybody else is a liar, that no state allows abortions up to the 34th, 40th week when Michigan does it and 18 other states. We already have proof of that. My question is, we went and into a college setting today, and we're canvassing the college kids because of the electoral college votes. Half of their parents in September of 2021 lost their jobs because they would not take the mandated jab. So if it's our right and our body, who has the right to tell us that we can take a, that we must take a jab or lose our jobs?
Yeah, look, Angie, these are great questions. And, of course, Georgia now becoming ground zero for, you know, Kamala Harris, I believe, is back today. And there's they're trying to, you know, they've made a national story out of this horrible tragedy where you had a Georgia mom. And they're saying that she lost her life because she couldn't get an abortion in Georgia, right? That's how the news media is portraying the story. And we'll get into more of this in the next hour. It is so disgusting. But basically, the Georgia mom took two abortion pills to end the life of her twins, and she came down with she suffered sepsis as a complication of taking the pill. So they're blaming the pro-life crowd, but it's actually the pro-abortion laws that ultimately led to her death. If those abortion pills were not on the market, she would still be alive today. So again, you're talking about abortion pills and medical negligence that caused a woman's death, not the pro-life movement.
So that's in the Trump administration, because we want to know why Trump has not brought up at all the mandated vaccine, that all these COVID vaccines have hurt and killed people. So if Kamala Harris is going by my choice, my body, then why did we all have to take the jab or lose our job?
Well, you know, that's a fair question, but Trump is on a little shaky ground himself on that particular issue. That's why I suspect, you know, they're not talking about it. But it's really tough, Angie, because the conservatives understand that the way to rile up the Democrat base is to bring up the abortion issue. And they know that's a winning issue for the Democrats, because they've won on it 7 times since Roe v. Wade was overturned. So from a strategy standpoint, it makes brilliant sense. But they're basically just flat out lying to the American people.
Yes, they are. And I'm all these electoral college vote people that we're going to. One of them was woke, and they called, you know, they're calling Trump a liar, that they're saying that there's no state that allows abortions up till the day the baby is born. And the woke girl got on the phone, called the abortion clinic, and they're like, oh, you can come in anytime. She said, well, I'm 34 weeks pregnant, and my baby's got Down syndrome. And she goes, it doesn't matter, but the earliest I can get you in is next week. That's all been documented.
Oh, no, it is. It's all on the record, and they're just literally lying. Lying. That's it.
You've got to get in here, Todd, or we're all done. We have just canvassed. We have done. We've got Trump supporters. We've got people that we changed from Democrat to, you know, they couldn't even come up from one policy of while they were voting for Kamala, other than she was young and she was cool.
That's it. That's it. That's all they're going with. They're going with the vibe, Angie. That's all they're going with, the vibe. So, Angie, I appreciate the call. We're coming up on the top of the hour break. We're going to have to let you go, but say hello to all of our great friends in beautiful Gainesville, Georgia. And if you haven't been down on that town square, you got to go check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, listen up, all of our Mid-South listeners, and this isn't just for the Memphis area. We have a lot of listeners around Little Rock and Jackson, Tennessee, and all over the place. I'm going to be speaking at the Trump store in Memphis. It's in Cordova. And if you would like information, go to our website, toddstearns.com, or you can just Google the Republican Club of Shelby County, Tennessee. And I'm going to be given it's going to be a little miniature Trump rally tomorrow at 9:00 Saturday morning. We're going to have a lot of fun. You'll also be able to purchase Trump merchandise, including the Trump signs. And they're getting new shipments. And I don't know what it's like in your neighborhood, but they are, I mean, as soon as they come in, they're right out the door here in Memphis. It's just really remarkable. So, again, that's 9:00 tomorrow morning at the Shelby County Republican Party's Trump store off of, it's in Cordova. So you can Google the information. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. This is Open Line Friday. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I love the product because I'm already here at almost 80 knocking on my door. When I started taking Balance of Nature, I'm telling you, it wasn't a month after that, maybe 2 months after that, I started really feeling the difference.
I love Balance of Nature. I will take it to the day I die. It's wonderful. I feel so much better. I'm telling everybody about it. And I just feel better. I mean, it's just amazing how much better I feel on this stuff. I got excited about the product because I started feeling better. They asked me, does it work? I said, yes, it works. You got to try it. It will work.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Wow, we've got a lot going on this hour of the show. Don't forget, 8 o'clock Eastern, I'll be hosting Prime News on Newsmax. We have a great show lined up, and we're going to do a deep dive into what happened over at UNC Chapel Hill yesterday. So going to be a fascinating conversation. Also want to remind you folks traveling, I'll be heading out Saturday afternoon to Los Angeles for the Big Leadership Conference, and we would love to see you out there. SLLeadership.com is the website. That's SLLeadership.com. If you would like some information on attending, I would love to be able to see you. We're expecting, oh gosh, about 5,000 people to attend the conference. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, I want to play some audio again. This is Kamala Harris, and she is, it's, you know, at some point I sort of felt bad for Oprah here, because I think even Oprah realizes, geez, Lou, this woman is a dingbat. Cut number two.
We love our country.
Okay, enough of that.
Love our country.
No, we're good. Thank you. All right, thank you. That's all I can handle. Let's bring in our good friend, national correspondent Robin Poffman on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We love our country, Robin. We love our country.
Lord help us. I can't take much more. I cannot take much more of this woman. You know what struck me about the whole thing is that you have the queen of communication, Oprah Winfrey, who back in the day when she was a newscaster in Baltimore, the woman was just phenomenal. And here she is, you know, hosting a show for years and years with great interviews and someone who's, you know, you may not like her politics, but she is a great communicator, the queen of communication, with another woman who can't communicate at all. And to me, watching it, that was my big takeaway. And even Oprah couldn't prop her up. That's my takeaway from the whole thing.
No, she couldn't. And I mean, it's just horrible. As a matter of fact, I was really fascinated with her husband, Dougie. He came out yesterday in a separate interview. Here's what Dougie Imhoff had to say.
For those who may criticize and say, well, she hasn't done that in her 3.5 years in office as vice president, do you think that's unfair?
Yeah, she's the vice president, not the president. So, you know, the vice president is there as part of the administration, not leading the administration. So as president, she's going to be able to put forth her policies and plans and effectuate those.
So, Robin completely throwing the old dude under the bus. Yeah, it's not her. It's on him.
don't you hate all the finger pointing? I have to tell you, Todd, it is exhausting. I think, you know, we're weeds deep. We're deep in the weeds on this. But I have to tell you, I can't imagine a person, like actually picture a person, and I have a few people in my mind, left-wing lunatics who only pull the lever or push the button for D. You have to have the D Democrat when you're in the little voting booth, right? And these people can't see beyond the D. So you could put a mannequin, like a literal mannequin, to vote for, and they would still, they can't get themselves to vote for Republican. I know people like this from where I'm from in liberal land in New Jersey. And you can't move them there no matter what. And I'm really struck by, and I don't know if you saw it, I hadn't heard your show this week, I was a little busy, but the interview that Trump was on the Gutfeld show, and it really reminded me of two things. One, he's also the master communicator, and he was so good in the format, and it reminded me, for your listeners who are a little older, of the old Johnny Carson days, where you would, you know, get new things and really kind of see how a person acts when, you know, you ask them the right questions, which Gutfeld did. And Trump's real personality of kindness, of love of country, his humor really, you know, he was like the old builder from Queens and so likable. And I watched the whole hour of this thing on Fox and I thought to myself, wow, I really miss the old days of The Apprentice. And the camera loves him and he loves the camera and the audience loves him. And you have to have that it factor that he has, that Barack Obama has, that Bill Clinton, well, maybe had back in the day. But she doesn't have it. Kamala Harris doesn't have the it factor.
You know, it's interesting. And you remember back in the day, those of us of a certain age will remember Bill Clinton playing the saxophone on Arsenio Hall, the whole boxers and briefs question. You know, I mean, it was so compelling because up until that point, America had been, you know, dealing with older presidents, and along comes a younger guy. But again, it's a matter of playing to the camera. And we did talk about that for about an hour yesterday, just sort of, you know, playing some of the clips. And, you know, you're right. I had no idea that Gutfeld was the first person to see the injured ear. That was fascinating to me. But compare that conversation to what happened with Oprah. And I mean, I think that's the thing that people need to be focused on, you know, compare and contrast those two interviews.
That's where I'm at. Like, so I watch all these things, right? I'm paid to watch all these things in long form, you know, not just the sound bites that the average person gets on the radio, or, you know, you watch the evening news, whatever, and you just get the sound bites. But when you watch something from A to Z, like I watched the Kamala Oprah thing, unfortunately for me, time I'll never get back in my life. And then I watched, you know, the Trump situation with Gutfeld. There's no personal revelation, you know, the ear thing. I was very struck by Tyrus, who was sitting next to the former president, and he gave him the, you know, the big belt from wrestling, and said, you know, you're an American patriot. You're a champion for the country. I'm paraphrasing. And with her, you don't get any personal nuggets. Even if I was also thinking in my mind, you know, again, rolling back the clock to the Barbara Walters years, that even Barbara Walters, could she have gotten anything new out of this woman? Anything that's authentic? Anything that's original? I'm also struck by the body language, Todd. You know, I've spent a lot of time. I have some personal friends that used to work in the FBI in profiling, and some friends in New York City that do the same. And all of the hand motions that she does are all learned. They're not natural. Those are hand motions that are learned from consultants, and they give her time to think. And so if you watch her without the sound on, and I challenge everyone in your audience to do this, you will see that all those hand motions and all the moving around, it's not natural. It's learned behavior. It's not, nothing about her is real and authentic. And I have to tell you, I'm not against a great Democrat. I'm not against a great woman, female candidate, but this woman brings literally nothing to the table. Zero.
No, I just, and by the way, the survey came out a couple of days. Axios ran the numbers, and they're like, they haven't done any press conferences. You've got J.D. Vance out there doing 50-plus interviews, and what, Tim Walz has done three or four, and nobody in the media, Robin, and this is what gets me. I just see this as journalistic malpractice, because not a single major journalist in this country is raising that as an issue.
Well, think about some of the places, Todd, that you and we're not going to mention the names, but some of the places that you and I have worked separately and together. And we know those news managers, and they're complicit in the cover up. They are also Democrat activists, that they're the arm of the Democratic Party. So let's say you have a reporter that's not asking those questions. Well, who's responsible for that reporter? There's a managing editor. There's a news director. There's someone senior to that person. And so the chain of command in America's newsrooms, all of those people are complicit. The people who edit the tape, you and I both have friends that are news editors. They chop off the applause at the end of a Trump soundbite. All of this garbage that's been going on for, what, over 30 years that I've been in the business. And I'm dating myself, by the way, but it's true. And I used to not get what's going on, but it's all so obvious now, and the public is onto it. And the person that, you know, and I was thinking about this person just the other day, Bernard Goldberg, back in the 90s, who was a CBS News correspondent working on the Dan Rather Show in CBS News in New York, his original book, Bias, was phenomenal and was the start of exposing the activists in America's newsroom. And it's only gotten worse and worse.
Robin Poffman on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Are you concerned about the polling data? It's sort of all over the place. I've just chosen personally not to pay attention to the polls, but I know a lot of people do. And any concerns that you see in the polling so far?
I don't trust it, with the exception of Trafalgar. I happen to like him, the bow tie guy, and I think that he's kind of has his finger on the pulse of things, saying that Trump really needs to do a better job with some of the seniors, you know, some of the hippies that, you know, were leftists back in the day. And he really needs to target them. He's doing well with black men and young men better than she is. I think at the end of the day, when people go to vote, I think there's a silent Trump vote out there, Todd. And you and I know this. There's a lot of people that don't want to put that Trump sign in the front lawn or the bumper sticker on your car. They don't want the negativity. They don't want to be targeted. I've driven around different parts of the country in the last couple of weeks. In certain areas, I've seen Trump signs, but it's very disturbing. I think that there's a silent majority for this man that is not showing up in the polling data. And I will also say that in terms of the security of Donald Trump and these rallies and all the things that he's doing, I still think that there is a very, and I'm not a conspiracy person at all, but I do believe that there is a conspiracy to take him out.
Robin, where do you think that conspiracy is?
My gut sadly tells me it's a deep state, that there are people in the FBI, in the CIA, people that have deep secrets that don't want their secrets exposed. And they know that if he gets in, he's going to do a house clearing. And they want to hold on to their Washington, D.C., in the Beltway jobs. And I'm very suspicious of the first shooter, whose body has been cremated and the scene was cleaned up. And then this second guy, who's got all sorts of odd ties to odd people in odd countries. And I think that there could be connections, maybe not. But if I were Trump, I would be laying low, and I'd be doing more of Gutfeld and doing more talk show hosting kind of scenarios. I would go on all of those shows, if I were Trump, I'd even go on The View. I would go to even the unfriendly territory. I would still hit it in that kind of a format because that's where he shines the brightest.
Could you imagine? That would be must-watch TV. You know, it's interesting, going back to that second shooter, I have questions. How, you know, that was an off-the-books, you know, last-minute decision to go play golf. I want to know how that guy knew that and how he was able to be there for so many hours without being detected. I want to know how a nobody gets profiled, not only by the New York Times, but by Newsweek's and lots of other news organizations out there, Robin. Something's just not adding up here, and I'm with you. I think that we are looking at some sort of a deep state conspiracy to take out Donald Trump.
I think that there's someone in the inner circle that doesn't belong there, at someone who's possibly disgruntled, either at the golf course, in the inner circle, in the security detail. And again, for those in your listening audience that ever saw or watched the show Homeland back in the day on Showtime, you need to watch it. It was done by an Israeli guy who was in the Mossad, in, you know, their version of the CIA, FBI intelligence. And a lot of what we're seeing playing out, I say to my husband almost every night, you got to go back and watch the show on Showtime called Homeland. A lot of what we're seeing was in that program years and years ago.
And Robin, can we talk about the whole Israeli military going James Bond? Was that not a brilliant move they did? I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands of terrorists that no longer have fingers and ears and private parts.
I would say that was in my view. I don't know anything about it other than the fact that it must have been months, if not years and years in the making to get with that company to set all that up. Whoever dreamed it up, it's certainly a plot that's right out of a movie. What concerns me about it is what's coming next.
Mm. Well, we'll see. I will say this. It was ingenious on the part of the Israelis. And I know a lot of folks have been staring at their own smartphones with a little eye of suspicion. So, Robin,
right.
Robin, we got to leave it there. Always good hearing from you.
You too, my friend. I don't want to watch any more bad TV for you and your program.
All right, Robin Poffin, my apologies. I owe you on that one. Robin Poffin on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. It is now Open Line Friday, and we're going to be able to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Do you believe that there is a deep state conspiracy to take out Donald Trump? Do you believe that young ladies in America should be drafted into the military? Just some of the topics we're talking about today, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Let's get right back to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Our good buddy from Ella J, Georgia. That's Joe from Ella J, Georgia. Hey, Joe, what's going on in the North Georgia Mountains? Any Kamala Harris sightings in your neck of the woods?
No, Tom, down at Sea Island in South Georgia. But everybody down here, I'm talking to people from all over the country, and I'd say 90% of them support Donald Trump. And I want to predict on your great show, Steve Moore told me if we carry Georgia, Trump will be the next president. In my opinion, Donald Trump will carry Georgia by at least 5%. They're having a meeting down here at Sea Island. Senator Rand Paul's here and a lot of other people. But it's a huge, huge Donald Trump group down here. And also, I just want to say you do a great job on Newsmax, and I'll be watching the 9-8. And I think that network is really, I've talked to a lot of people that are switching to Newsmax, and I think you're having a lot to do with that. And
I take full credit for it, Joe. Full credit for their success.
Well, you deserve it. And all I can say is keep up the great work. We got to get Trump in there, my friend.
Yes, sir. Joe, you're absolutely right about that, or they're going to be coming after all of us. Joe from Ella J, Georgia. Thank you. Folks, again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Mark from the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, what's going on?
You're talking about drinking cherry wine. You need whiskey. That's what you need. Having all this.
Yes.
You know, they're talking. Everybody's worried about this election. Just go look at the numbers in 2016 when Hillary was running against Trump. She was up by lots of numbers. That didn't mean nothing. And she's by far a lot smarter than the box of rocks running now. And Harris can't even answer major questions on how she will fix this country. Instead, she talks about how life experiences growing up as a child was. Next, she's going to be telling us how she was potty trained. Even Oprah had a moment last night. That should tell you something right there. They were interviewing college students yesterday, and they even said they know their country's not going in the right direction, and Pennsylvania is aware of it too. And you look at the union boss, says he will not endorse either candidate, but yet all the family members are voting for Trump, especially in California. The truckers said they can't even afford the electric truck. The union boss should support what his people want before he's voted out of office, but he's riding the fence to be safe. I do give him credit for rejecting AOC's criticism. Tells her to focus on her own job instead of mine. Yes, that was funny.
Yes, it was. Look, the polling, it's all over the place. I don't think we can read anything into it at all. What I am seeing, I'm looking at a lot of people out there, especially on college campuses that are signing up, registering to vote. I'm very curious to see the frat boy summer and if that turns into a frat boy fall. And we're going to see a lot of young men and especially young white men who have been disenfranchised going out and voting. And if we can get those kinds of numbers, Mark, I think Trump could be looking at a very big win in the fall.
I think he's going to get those numbers. If we can keep him safe and he stays, his last rally in New Jersey, it was phenomenal. He was on point. It was incredible. Probably one of the best. He does a lot of great speeches, but this was the best. If he stays focused like that, I think he'll be okay. We know if Harris gets in there, she's just another puppet for Obama. She is so incapable of running this country. It's unbelievable. There'd be no way she could run this country. She could. She can't even speak.
No, she can't. And I'm telling you, Timmy Waltz, Tampon Timmy, that guy is a lunatic. All right, Mark, appreciate the call. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926 is our number. I'm not sure what happened to Mark. My apologies there. 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here. This is coming from Fox News. They sent a reporter in the halls of Congress, in the bowels of the building, and they asked these Democrat lawmakers whether or not they're going to keep calling Trump a threat to America. Of course, you know, Biden and Harris are saying we got to tone down the rhetoric. Well, here's how that went. Cut number five.
I'd like to know if you think it's time for Democrats to stop calling Trump a threat to democracy.
No, fact of the matter is that he is a threat to democracy.
No, I think we should be clear that he is a threat to democracy.
Do you think that the rhetoric, though, needs to be toned down?
I think his rhetoric should be toned down, absolutely.
Listen, these are the facts. He is a threat, period, point blank.
Well, there you go. By the way, in-person voting already underway in Virginia. And looking at some video here, and there is such huge enthusiasm. A lot of Trump supporters waving American flags, waving Trump flags and banners, and it looks good. I mean, it's really nice. Look, if Trump wins Virginia, he wins Pennsylvania, he wins the whole shooting match right there. That's how big of a deal that is. So good for you, good people of Virginia and the Commonwealth. I want to go back to this story and this out of Georgia, and this is going to become a big issue, and the Democrats and the media are just flat out lying about these circumstances. But I want you to hear how CNN framed this report of the women who died in Georgia And they're blaming it on the fact they could not get abortions. Cut number six.
Well, this is a trip that is a callback to what the vice president had been doing over the course of the last year, which is quickly deploying to cities and states where there was issues of consequence or news of day. Remember, she went to Tennessee, she went to Florida, and earlier this year, she went to Arizona, where she also had remarks on abortion and coined the term Trump abortion bans. And so the vice president doing much of the same today, telling her team this week that she wanted to be here, a detour to her trip to Wisconsin later today to keep this issue front of mind for voters. The issue, of course, being reproductive rights. And it comes on the heels of that report that you just mentioned, which details the devastating stories of two women, one of whom died from a treatable infection due to delays in medical care stemming from that Georgia abortion restriction. Now, the family of that woman was at the event that the vice president was at yesterday with Oprah, and it led to one of the more powerful exchanges of that event. Take a listen.
Amber was not a statistic. She was loved by a family, a strong family. And we would have done whatever to get my baby, our baby, the help that she needed.
We had no idea. We trusted them to take care of her, you know, and they just let her die because of some stupid abortion ban.
I'm just so sorry. This story is a story that is sadly not the only story of what has been happening since these bans have taken place.
She's so full of it. The woman is literally lying to you. It's not a matter of even misrepresenting. It's just flat out lying, ladies and gentlemen. And it's just unacceptable. But again, on this program, we're going to share the full story with you. All right. This story out of New Hampshire. Now, many of you are going to high school football games tonight. Big Friday night football, Friday night lights. A lot of you, maybe you have daughters. They are playing soccer. And in New Hampshire, a group of parents have now been banned from attending their daughters' soccer matches. So the moms and dads received letters from the Bow School District, B-O-W School District, telling them they were banned from entering school grounds. They're also not allowed to attend any athletic events on or off campus. So all of this stems from an incident where the girls' soccer team was being forced to play another team, and the other team had a boy on the squad. So a boy pretending to be a girl. And the parents in the Bow School District were really upset about that. And they took their concerns, their complaints to the school, and the school said, there's nothing we can do about it. You just have to shut up and you know, watch the game. So instead, what they did was they showed up at the next game, and all of the parents wore these pink armbands, and they had two X's representing the chromosomes. And now the school district is accusing the parents of intimidating, threatening, and harassing the transgender player by wearing the pink armbands with two X chromosomes. What, that's offensive now? Basic human biology is offensive now? Is that what they're saying? There's a gentleman by the name of Anthony Foote, and he's a parent, told the New Hampshire Journal that he was one of the parents banned. They got letters, cease and desist, and he's not even going to be able to attend his daughter's homecoming match at the school. Mr. Foote says it's not about transgenderism. The concern is about safety, and he doesn't want his daughter competing against a muscular young man. But the school said, you know what? That's the risk you're going to have to take because the state law requires that we allow these boys onto the teams. And now the parents, and by the way, the student athletes are being told that if they say anything, they'll be booted off the squad. I mean, that's what we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen. It's just unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. From Panhandle, Texas. What a great name for a town. Little town in the Panhandle. Panhandle Junior High School. They've been doing a Bible study this year for teenagers. It's called Donuts and God. I like that combo. That's a pretty good combo. The kids get the sugar high by eating glazed donuts, and then they get the spiritual high by reading God's word, right? That's pretty cool. Anyway, the Freedom From Religion Foundation found out about it, and now they're threatening to sue the school district. They are the group based in Wisconsin, and they've got a history of targeting these smaller school districts. When you see these atheists coming to town, you would rather have root canal surgery without any medicine. They're just very bad people, and they smell. Anyway, the atheists say that government-sponsored Bible studies are against the law and that advancing a religious message is inappropriate and divisive. They say that Panhandle Junior High School may not host or promote the Donuts and God Bible study. Now, look, I don't know what the school's going to do here. It's a Texas school, so usually the Texans tell the atheists to go pound sand. But only a godless heathen atheist would get triggered by a dozen glazed donuts. Mm-mm-mm. All right, let's go to South Carolina. Angie is with us. Hi, Angie. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a couple different things I'd like to say. One is that anyone that votes for Kamala Harris, they're spiritually blind. The next thing is I just suggest President Trump, when he is in office, that he never, ever, ever has another press conference, because he basically is shot at. They don't. They turn the news around to their own demise and their stupidity and blind spirituality. And he needs to just go directly to the people, kind of like the fireside chat that Roosevelt had back, during the war or whenever that was, and just outline, tell the people straightforward what he wants to say. And then lastly, I just wanted to say that if you want to understand some of the deep state scenarios going on, I watched this on BitChute. It's a film. It's made by a guy who was a, the guy that does all, anyways, it's called Out of the Shadows. And he used to work, and I think he must still, I don't know, as one of the stuntmen, and he was a stuntman for many, many movies. And anyways, if you watch Out of the Shadows, that is going to tell everybody that watches it just how deeply the deep state, CIA, FBI, and all these other folks are under cover trying to make everybody believe the left. Please.
All right. Well, Angie, thank you for sharing that information with us. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate you calling in today. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, if you haven't heard the news, the great one, Mark Levin, not doing too good, took a serious fall, and he's going to have surgery to repair the damage, the injuries. He's going to be okay, but you know what? Say a prayer for Mark Levin, and let's get him back on the airwaves lickety-split. Good guy right there, and we appreciate the great work of Mark Levin. President Trump posting this a little while ago, in all caps: if you vote illegally, you're going to jail. If you vote illegally, you're going to jail. This coming from President Trump, writing this on his True Social account. So anybody who votes illegally in the 2024 presidential election, you have been put on notice. You will be hunted down, you will be rooted out, and you will be going to jail. It really is that simple. It really is. And I love that. Good for you, Mr. President. Thank you for that. Also, this bit of news coming in from the House Oversight Committee, or the Subcommittee on Oversight. We now officially have it. And I just, folks, the challenge here is that a lot of these people in the deep state, they know that many of us have short-term memories, right? We don't remember stuff. Well, not yours truly. Yours truly remembers. And remember, it was General Mark Milley who said that President Trump never asked for any National Guard troops, none of that on J6, right? It never happened. How many times have you heard Nancy Pelosi and all the others say nobody, and all the mainstream media, they're piling on and saying Trump's lying? Well, there are brand new transcripts that were just released, and General Milley now confirms that days before January the 6th, President Trump requested, and this is the quote, President Trump requested sufficient National Guard or soldiers to make sure it's a safe event. Now, General Milley and Pelosi and others said that the delayed, this is Milley and others, including Pelosi, unnecessarily delayed the D.C. National Guard response to the Capitol due to optics concerns. And then they turned around and framed Donald Trump, trying to nail him for what they're calling an insurrection when it's all untrue. And again, all the information is coming out. All the puzzle pieces are coming together. And the reality is, according to the official government transcripts, and this is the quote, on January 3rd, by the way, January 3rd, from General Mark Milley, who at that point was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, here's what he said. The president just said, hey, look at this. There's going to be a large amount of protesters here on the 6th. Make sure you have sufficient National Guard or soldiers to make sure it's a safe event. Yet another lie, ladies and gentlemen, exposed. Another lie has been exposed. Just like Russia collusion. The president, and when you go back and watch, I would encourage you, here's what I want you to do over the weekend. Go watch the Gutfeld Trump interview, then go watch the Harris Oprah interview. And you will understand what we are dealing with right now. These Democrats are liars, every single one of them. President Trump is nothing more than a good and decent man, and now we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the president did in fact request sufficient National Guard troops, and they ignored those orders. And we know that Nancy Pelosi regretted it because she's on video filmed by her own daughter on January the 6th saying it was all her fault, that she had to take responsibility. Darn tootin', it's your fault, lady. Darn tootin'. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number, open line Friday. We're going to your calls in the next hour of the show. That's 901-260-5926. Whatever is on your mind, we're going to talk about today. In the meantime, head over to our website. And by the way, if you have not already done so, you got to really get our newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter. You're going to love it. Also, our free podcast, all at toddstearns.com.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
What has it been like, I don't know, almost a year, and the President Biden has not held a single cabinet meeting in a year, ladies and gentlemen. They're not even pretending to care about what's happening in this country. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Very happy to have you with us today. So just a little while ago, Joe Biden finally held another cabinet meeting. Again, it's been almost a year. It's been 11 months. All right, 11 months officially. So when they finally have a meeting, Joe Biden brings in the wife, Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden, and puts her at the head of the table and tells her to run the meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, the last time I checked, did we elect Dr. and Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden to be president of these great United States? Is that what we've done here? I mean, what's going on? This is insane. I'm telling you, folks, there's some messed up stuff going going on, messed up in Washington, D.C. Oh, by the way, somebody is vandalizing Kamala Harris, Tim Walz campaign signs around the country. You know, those yard signs? Apparently, they're adding a Y to the last name. So they're erasing the S on Harris. And so the first word is Harry. And then they've replaced the W with a B on Governor Walz. Oh, that's inappropriate. I love it. Oh, my goodness. It's a mess, ladies and gentlemen. It's an absolute mess. And the fact of the matter is we deserve to know who the heck is running our country right now. Is it Dr. Mrs. First Lady Joe Biden? Is it Barack Hussein Obama? Is it Big Mike? Who is running our country right now? I'm just asking questions. 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. We're going to be taking your calls, ladies and gentlemen, on some of the big stories of the day. That's 901-260-5926. We have some audio here. This is, they've got a lot of reporters now in Springfield, Ohio. And again, the mainstream media is just lying to you. By the way, they're telling you that the mayor of Springfield, Ohio is a Republican. Well, they pulled his donation numbers. And this guy is donating to Democrats. Who does that? Who does that? Oh, by the way, somebody, I got some hate mail over on the X feed the other day. And they realized that I own a radio station. And they said, Todd Starnes donates money to Republican candidates. Yeah, I do. So what? You got a problem with that? As if that's a crime that I'm out there donating. You know what? You're not going to see me donating to Democrats. I'll tell you that much. And yes, I do donate to moderate Republicans because that's all we got out here on this side of the state. And you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm a conservative and I support my party. And it's better than the alternative. And I hate to say this, and I know it's sometimes you got to go to the poll and you got to hold your nose and you got to vote. And I get that. I wish I didn't. I wish we had great candidates out there running. But it is what it is. And still, once the primaries are over and we pick a nominee, I get behind my party's nominee. You know who doesn't do that? The establishment people and the moderate Republicans, a bunch of sleazeballs. Let's go to Jerry in Iowa, wants to weigh in today. Jerry, what do we want to talk about?
Brother Ty, I love your show. I want to talk about the chronic voter turnout problem. Two cases in point. Mike Huckabee last week, we watched his show, my wife and I do, and I've never seen him so mad before. He kind of guilt-tripped people, justifiably, that he said like 40% of Christians like never turn out to vote. Okay. Then there's like, or I don't know if it was on your show, some show that I had heard that in Oregon, for example, if the non-college educated people would actually, who are sympathetic to Trump and red issues, they would show up, that they'd turn the state from blue to red, and that and also have a huge impact on the down ballot stuff. But you have all these attitudes that I ask you about, like, you know, my vote doesn't count, the fix is in, politics is corrupt. I mean, they have the right attitudes and the right, like on Second Amendment and everything, but you just cannot get them to show up. The my state doesn't matter thing drives me nuts. Like, their plan is, and I've talked to so many people like this, their plan is to wait until the feds have them surrounded in some dystopian future, and then they heroically shoot out the window while the wife reloads and the children bandage wounds. I mean, that's their plan. And I'm just going, like, they have the right values. If they would turn up, can you talk to people and say that even if you are in a place where you're overwhelmed and you're going to get slaughtered at the polls, what kind of a person do you want to be? What kind of an American are you? Do you have any pride that you show up on election day, or in this case, mail-in, that isn't that worth something even if you lose? But you just can't. You can't reach them. They're really checked out. And I can see why Mike Huckabee would be mad. And it's a shame you can't flip Oregon red. So there's just these attitudes, like don't they have pride in being an American voter, even if they lose?
I don't think they do, Jerry. And I get it. I understand why Huckabee's upset. I am a minority in America, and by that I mean I am a patriot. I am an evangelical Bible believing Christian. I believe in defending the Constitution. There are a lot of people out there, Jerry, that do not believe those things. And I believe that there's only a minority of people that actually, you know, still believe in free speech and believe in the Second Amendment. And the reason why is because we've had a generation of millennials and now Gen Zers that have been indoctrinated by their public schools to hate our country, to believe that America is the problem, the root problem with all of the world's issues. And, you know, they've been trained and conditioned to believe that we should not have things like free speech, that there should be limitations, as you heard Governor Waltz declare just a couple of weeks back. So I'm not surprised that we have a lack of enthusiasm in the Christian turnout, especially. The other part of this is you've got a lot of pastors who are very young, who have been for lack of a better term, they have been brainwashed by their seminaries and by a lot of these woke individuals like the Andy Stanleys of the world to disengage their congregations from the culture war. And, Jerry, I just truly believe that the problem facing America is that the church has disengaged and the church is not at the center of the culture in the community.
Examples of heroes are conservatives in Memphis who are surrounded. Also, the Californians, people love to diss the Californians, but more Californians voted for Trump than any other state last time. It's just that, you know, there's more Democrats. So people who do the right thing, regardless of what's happening around them, that I admire them. And by the way, I discovered Larry Elder on your show. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. I just love it. So thank you for him. I love that guy. He is a hero who stands up. He's a Californian. Thank you, Todd.
Jerry, to that point, I appreciate those kind words. And, you know, the radio station I own, we get a lot of attacks and a lot of hate, and that comes with the territory. You know, the liberals in Memphis, and we're outnumbered. It's 70-30 here, my friend. So it's tough, which means we got to work super hard. And the liberals in this town are not used to having a media agency actually push back and fight back. And that's what we do here. And we get called every name under the book. I addressed this on our Twitter feed a couple of days ago because they're like, oh, well, KWAM in Memphis, they're a bunch of white racists. Really, we actually have a more diverse lineup than every other radio station in the market. We have black hosts, for example, Larry Elder. We have Dr. Fred Tappan, who's on our weekend programming. We bring in a lot of minority guests onto the shows. As a matter of fact, and then they say, well, it's just a right-wing radio station. And yet, Jerry, we invite Democrats to come on and debate with us. So it's, you know, we're able to push back, and I don't mind doing that, and because we're not going to be bullied, and they're coming to terms with the fact that they can't shut us down and they can't shut us up, and that's got them all back on their heels, as they say.
Yep, you got a lot of black conservatives who are saving our bacon now, which is kind of interesting. I mean, I love it, and I they're courageous too in their community too. Because they're the minority in a real sense.
Well, yeah, and to that point, one of the most courageous ladies I know, her name is Melanie Mosley, and she owns a great tax service. She's an accountant in town, and she launched the first Republican club in Whitehaven, which is a heavily black middle class community in Memphis, a suburb. And gosh, they had almost 100 people turn out for the first meeting. I mean, it's just remarkable. Those are the people that I respect. Those are people on the front lines, and they're courageous and they're fighting and getting the message out that you don't have to be chained to that Democrat plantation. You can actually be a free American by becoming a member of the Republican Party. And look, I get it. You know, the Republican Party, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a heck of a lot better than hanging out with a bunch of Marxists who don't know their pronouns. Jerry, thanks for the call. All right. Let's go to David in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, David. What's on your mind?
Just to qualify my political stance, I have two Trump flags flying at my gate on 20-foot poles, so that gives my bona fides there. But the thing about these voters today is that let's say 49% of the voters today have no clue what they're voting for, even if they do vote. And I make an effort to anybody I see, even remotely know, I ask them, are you going to vote today? Or vote? And for the most part, believe it or not, about half of them say yes and about half of them say no. And I said, don't you care about your country and the future of it? No, there's nothing we can do about it. So why even worry about it? I said, so you're more interested in watching Dancing with the Stars than you are the condition of the country. And they came back and say, well, we just can't do anything about it. I said, yeah, you can. One vote is one vote that might put somebody over the top. And, you know, I try to call it out everywhere I go. I sometimes get some pretty nasty responses, but that's okay. I consider the source, and so I move on. But I just think that a lot of people just don't care anymore.
And we've got to do something about that, David. How do you recommend changing people's hearts and minds?
You can't. You can't change them.
Really?
That's just the way that, you know, there's no hope for them because you cannot change their minds because it takes effort. And a lot of people are too lazy to take the effort.
I just find that to be unacceptable, David. I think we have to try. I think, you know, getting ready, you know, early voting's already started in Virginia. We've got a lot of Virginia listeners. Get out there, and before you go vote, grab your neighbors, grab the people you go to church with, give them a call and say, hey, let's go vote, and then I'll treat you to Chick-fil-A or something.
And like I said, a lot of people, because only about 20% vote anyway, really, if you really would sit down and look at the numbers. The people have gotten so apathetic to the whole process that they have this idea. I had one woman tell me, leaving church, I said, are you going to vote? And she said, why? It doesn't make any difference. I said, it makes every bit of difference. And she said, oh, no, we can't control any of that. It's out of our control. I said, nothing's out of your control if you get active and do something about it. Well, I don't want to cause no trouble. Well, I like trouble. I'll cause trouble all day long. I've been having to deal with troubles. And like I said, people just don't care anymore. And they would rather go along and get along, especially Christians. I'm a Christian myself, and I resent that. I resent that whole process. But so many Christians think that if they get involved, if they're not doing God's work, well, yeah, you're doing the devil's work is what you're doing. And they get kind of upset when you tell them that, but that's the truth.
There's nothing worse than one of those woke, limp-wristed Christians. Those people really make me mad, David.
I'm going to tell you something. When the day of rapture comes, many of these churches are not going to notice any noticeable attendance drop after the day of rapture.
You may be right about that, David. I'm with you on that. I'm of the belief that if we have 30 million, I'm just throwing out a number. I'm spitballing here, people. Bear with me. If we've got 30 million God-fearing Christian voters in Tennessee and we all go out and vote on Election Day, we win, and we win big. I'm telling you, folks, vote your values. That's what you've got to do. You got to vote your values. And this nonsense about, I had a big problem with, and by the way, that's why you people in Georgia right now, that's why you got two, there are several other reasons, but that's why you got two Democrats representing you in the U.S. Senate right now. And one of them's a flaming communist who nearly ran over his wife, and he's a preacher. Sorry, David, my blood pressure's getting up here. I got to take a break. All right, 901-260-5926. Folks, we've got to get everybody out there. You got to drag somebody. You know what? And if you don't want to buy them a Chick-fil-A sandwich, make them buy you one. You got to get people out and we got to go vote. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. We have some breaking news coming out of the state of Georgia, your state capital there. where the state election board has just voted to require a hand count of ballots on election night. And this is a big deal. This is coming from the Washington Post, less than 50 days before the election. Pro-Trump allies on the Georgia State Election Board just approved a rule requiring counties to hand count all ballots this year, potentially upending the entire election by delaying reporting of results by weeks, if not months. Now, I'm going to stop you right there, ladies and gentlemen. We are a highly developed republic, constitutional republic, highly developed. You're telling me that we don't have the mental capacity, we don't have the bandwidth to sit there and count votes on election night and then deliver the results? There are third world countries that are out there doing that. And you're telling me that we can't count our votes on one night, that according to the Washington Post, you people in Georgia, it could be months before we know the outcome of the election in Georgia? Is that what they're telling us? Come on. Do you believe that? Look, this is a good move, ladies and gentlemen, because, again, we've got to make sure that there are no shenanigans at all. The board voted 3-2 to approve the measure. It would require the hand count in addition to the customary machine count in each precinct. So again, the breaking news, and it is a good news. It is good news for conservatives. The election board will require the hand counting of ballots in Georgia. And now the Washington Post said it could take months. 901-260-5926. And we're going right to your calls after this. President Trump, man, he is on fire with Newsmax, says it is absolutely awesome. Mike Huckabee says he's tuning in like millions of other Americans, which is why Newsmax is the fastest growing cable news channel in America. You'll be able to watch me tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. We're going to have a great show. And now you can actually become a part owner of Newsmax, the fastest growing cable news channel in America. You say, how do I do that? Well, it's very simple. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. You can buy shares right away. You do need to consult with your attorney or financial advisor. It's always smart to do that. Do your due diligence. But NewsmaxInvest.com, all the information is there for you to check out. All right, let's go to the phone lines and say hello to Connor in Boston. Hi, Connor. What's on your mind today?
Todd, you know, I want to tell you, when our great president arrives back in Washington after we elect him in November, I want him to do two things. I want him to look into whoever is in the deep state, whoever is in the Democratic deep state. I want him to find out who they are, haul them out in handcuffs and shackles, do it in front of TV so everybody can see their little faces. I want him to lock them up for lengthy prison sentences. I wouldn't even be opposed to sending them out to the Supermax out in Colorado. When it comes to the media, like ABC, I want the president to seriously look into instructing the FCC to suspend their license when we have people putting out fake information out there, like David Menor did when it came to this presidential debate. It was a setup, and it's just disgraceful to our country. It's almost election interference, in my opinion, if they're helping out his political opponent, which I believe they did.
Oh, no doubt about that, Connor. And I'm with you. I want to see him in shackles, leg shackles, the chains, the whole nine yards. And I want to see him marched out of whatever government building they're in. And everybody needs to be punished for what they've done. Everybody.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Todd, Trump needs to tell them they're not getting club fed. They're going to a hardcore prison. They're going to pay a price for what they did.
I like that. Connor, it's a great idea. I'm not sure they're going to have the stomach for that, but that's what we ought to do because that's what they've been doing to conservatives for decades now. For decades.
Yep. Well, you know, they always try to paint out conservatives as, like, we're the boogeymen. But you know what? It's a new day, and it's going to be a new day when our great president reclaims the White House, and we're going to get this all under control. This is never going to happen again.
Well said, Connor. All right. Have a great weekend. Thank you, sir. Let's go to Louise in Georgia. listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Louise. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Everything, but I just want to reflect back on 2020 and then those two people that won the Democratic Senate seats or whatever it was. I was sitting watching the night of the election on 2020. As soon as I heard them say there was some kind of water main break there where they were counting votes, I said, here we go. We saw it on video where they pulled suitcases full of votes out from under desks and started putting those in during the night. So, you know, it was rigged. And the same thing, we're not a Democratic state. And the same thing happened during the election for those two Democrats against our Republicans. That was fixed, too.
Yeah, you had, Ossoff and Warlock. Oh, no, sorry, yeah. Warnock, my apologies. The Warlock is a witch.
And I don't think it's right to blame the voters of Georgia when we know the voting system was rigged.
It doesn't matter. Louise, I don't think that matters. I still think that we've got an obligation to get our butts out there, all of us. And let me say this. When that water main broke down there, I would have had 1,000 Republicans out there surrounding that facility. You know, we've got to be there, and we can't allow them to get away with stealing another election in this country. We just can't do it. And so if that means we need to have, you know, a couple of hundred people down at your local election headquarters, then fine, be there. Let's get out the people. I'm not saying be violent. I'm just saying we need eyeballs there. And they need to know that we are watching, and we are not going to tolerate another 2020. We're not going to do it.
Republicans are not the ones violent.
Oh, I know that, but I know. I throw that in there, Louise, because we have a lot of these guys, and they're like in their mid-20s. They can't find women because they have bad skin, and they sit in their parents' basements, and they've got the Cheeto-stained fingers. And they monitor what I say. And so they could turn that around and say, well, Starnes is calling for violence. So I know we're not violent, but I have to verbally say it, Louise, so as not to, trigger those little monsters.
Well, I know, but, you know.
Basement dwellers.
Like I said, they're the ones that are the violent ones. You know, nothing was done when they burnt down cities. You know, that was okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Good point. All right, Louise, thank you for that. But, folks, I mean, in Georgia, I mean, we've got smart people in Georgia. Is it really going to take months? The Washington Post says it's going to take months to count your ballots. Is that true? 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina. Steve, what's on your mind?
Well, I know the good idea that President Trump had about no tax on tips. I really like that. In my state of North Carolina, are you still there?
Steve, keep talking.
Yes. Okay. In my state of North Carolina, they tax my federal Social Security. The state doesn't tax us, but the federal government does. So I think there's as many older people, seniors, that are getting their federal Social Security taxed more than there are of wait staff.
So you want to suggest? So you want to eliminate the tax on Social Security? Is that what you want to do, Steve?
The federal.
Yeah.
The federal tax. The state, North Carolina, doesn't do it. I don't know about other states. North Carolina do it, but I'd like to see the government get their hands out of the Social Security also.
So you're getting taxed on your Social Security benefits? Is that what you're telling me?
When I take it out, yes.
Okay.
Monthly.
All right. So here's my take on this. When you get your paycheck, and I get this from a lot of our new employees, and they realize, wait a second, where's all this money going? Well, that money is going to the government. And by the way, here is a Republican registration voting card, so you can stop that. Look, I don't believe we ought to be taxing Social Security, because Social Security in and of itself was a tax. And I see it as almost a double tax on people. That's your money, right? You're socking it away, and it's coming out of your paycheck. Why should you be taxed on that money? I never have understood that. I know there are a lot of people that are Republicans and people who are conservative that think we ought to be taxing Social Security. Quite frankly, I don't necessarily oppose doing away with it. The challenge there is, and again, it's really not a challenge, Every American ought to be responsible for themselves. They should not be looking to the government for anything. And I think that the average American would do a better job with that money and investing it, putting it away, than the government does, to be honest with you. Steve, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up tomorrow for all of our listeners on KWAM, I will be speaking at the Cordova Republican Club, and we would love to have you there. It's going to be at the Shelby County Republican Party headquarters, which is also the Trump store, and you're going to be able to get all sorts of brand-new Trump swag. They had the autumn line in. So it's sweatshirts, the whole nine yards. You're going to want to get over there. Also, get your Trump sign. And I don't care where you are in America. If you are a Trump supporter, hear me on this. You need to have a Trump sign in your front yard. This man took a bullet in the ear for you. The least you can do is put a sign out in your freaking front yard. Pardon me. All right. Let's go to William, North Carolina, WSIC. William, what's on your mind?
Todd, thanks for taking my call. Last time I checked, our currency, paper currency, money bills, they have serial numbers on them. And there's several different reasons as to why they have those serial numbers on each dollar bill or what have you. Why can't we put those kind of same sequence numbers on the ballot tickets, perhaps help the ballot counters keep track of it? Maybe that might help with this voter fraud issue that we had in 2020.
Yeah, maybe. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I still like the idea of forcing people to prove they're U.S. citizens.
Well, there's that, but that's a whole different issue there. But, you know, it's just we got to do something. We got to keep trying. That's my whole point. I do have a friend of mine that's got his flag upside down, and he says he's not going to put it back up right until Donald Trump gets back in. And I said, well, what if he does not get back in? I hope that's not the case, but there's that chance. And he says, well, I'm going to leave in America then. I'm going somewhere else.
Well, so you have that kind of. There's nowhere else to go. We're it. This is why we got to stand and fight. I mean, what are you going to do? Go to Venezuela? Nobody wants to live down there. That's not a life. People eating zebras out of the zoo? Come on. William, we got to fight. We got to fight, ladies and gentlemen. All right, and we got to take a break. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, this weekend, heading to Los Angeles, and you'll be seeing me speak at the Spiritual Leadership Conference. About 5,000 great conservatives in northern Los Angeles County. That's going to be a lot of fun. Then next week, in North Carolina at the Salt and Light Conference. So we're going to have some great fill-in hosts off and on during next week's programs, and we'll tell you more about that in just a little while. You know, we talked earlier about the lack of enthusiasm among Christians to get out and vote. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have the Vice President of Strategic Partnerships with Patriot Mobile, Daniel Buck, join us. Danielle, I hope you're doing good today.
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we had a caller about 30, 40 minutes ago, and he was really distressed because he doesn't see a sense of urgency among the people he goes to church with, among his fellow Christians, about getting out there and getting involved in the political process. I know this is something that you guys at Patriot Mobile have really been concerned about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, My Faith Votes reported that 25 million Christians who are registered to vote don't vote in the presidential elections. Another 15 million aren't even registered. And those numbers are just staggering. And so we at Patriot Mobile are trying to activate anybody that we can reach to not just tell you, but your friends and get people in your church communities to register. And so we created a blog post where we actually link every single state in the country there, where you can look and still be able to register to vote in most places. And even if you want to take it a step further, do more, right? Like get informed, volunteer as a poll watcher, and even some other really practical things like how we can pray for our nation. So the physical action of taking action, right, registering now. But if you go to patriotmobile.com, it's an amazing article and a map that we've created called Christian Voices Matter, Why Your Vote in 2024 is Critical.
This is great. And folks, if you go to patriotmobile.com/voter-info, you're going to see this great map. And for example, we were talking about early voting underway in Virginia. Well, if you just click on a particular state, let's say Tennessee, for example, your early voting starts October 16th. Registration deadline is October 7th, and Patriot Mobile has gone and they've got all this information for you, and it is right at your fingertips. Again, patriotmobile.com/voter-info. Danielle, this is such a really fun, user-friendly thing you guys have here.
Yeah, we really wanted to equip people with something that's easy so they can then go and do something that actually makes a difference, right? There is so much at stake, as you talk about all the time on your show, and we're activists, right? Like, yes, we offer amazing coverage on all the nationwide networks, right? Like, we have all three of the major networks. Your phone's going to work the same. But when people come to Patriot Mobile, they want to be part of something bigger than themselves. And this is just one example of that, right? Like, we also give to all these amazing organizations and partner with them. But right now, in this election season, we felt like this was really a way to kind of put all of our efforts into one path. And we have all these members across the country that want to be able to do something. And so this is a really easy tool for them to be able to utilize with their church members, their neighbors, their friends at their kids' school, et cetera.
Is that one of the reasons why you guys are out there at all of these big events, whether it's a gun show or CPAC or, you know, some of the religious liberty gatherings, pro-life gatherings?
Yeah, I mean, we think we've had like 5 events in the last 7 days. We are all over the country. Lee was speaking in Idaho last night because we really want people to know that, yes, we offer amazing phone coverage and your phone will work the same. But it's not just that, right? Like, that's just the vehicle by which we feel like we're called to do what God has called us to do, which is to uphold our biblical and constitutional rights, supporting the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responders. And so by being out there and actually talking to people, engaging people, and then realizing that they can vote with their dollars, not just vote at the ballot box, because when you go to these events, I do this a lot. I travel, I speak, I meet people, and they're like, I want to do something. And I'm like, well, you know, every month you pay a phone bill, you're paying either for something to believe in or against something. And we make that choice every day. And I think that there's a lot of people who just, it's inconvenient, they think, to switch. And so that's why we go to those places, because A, we care, but B, a lot of these people who are active and conservative aren't on our phone service yet. And so it's kind of a double whammy for us.
Yeah. And again, it's about, and I love the phrase here, mobilizing freedom. This is about supporting organizations that care about the values that are important to us. You know, we tell people, vote your values. Danielle, I think we ought to be shopping our values, too.
Absolutely. I say every dollar should have a job. So we all earn money, and we obviously have bills to pay. We need to feed our families. We need our phones to work so we can operate our business. Well, great. Bring your phone over to Patriot Mobile. We have all three of the major networks. And now we even offer something really unique where we can actually have two different networks on one smartphone. So for people that travel extensively, you're not tied to one carrier, for example, if one of the carriers were to go down. So we really do offer an exceptional product on top of being able to vote with your dollars.
I was going to make a very inappropriate joke about a number of people in Lebanon needing new Patriot service. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to go there today. Again, I am staggered by these numbers. We're looking at 25 million Christians registered to vote. They don't vote. 15 million aren't even registered. That's 40 million people. That literally is the difference between losing an election and winning in a landslide.
That's exactly right. And so for anyone listening, my encouragement to you is not just you go vote, but grab 10 people, neighbors, coworkers, friends, people that you sit next to at church, offer to drive them, go with them, remind them. Some people need the information on who to vote for. That's another thing that I've found in my personal life. If I have a lot of friends who aren't quite as involved as I am and they text me because they've heard, you know, the two presidential candidates, but down ballot, they want information and kind of research and stats, and so helping them. I think that anybody who's listening to your show probably is a lot more engaged and informed than the average person. And so let's activate. Each one of us represents, you know, let's say 11 votes. If we all grab 10 friends, then could be the difference in this election.
All right. Well, Danielle, we're going to have to leave it there. And again, folks, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, and you'll find all the information there about becoming a Patriot Mobile a supporter, and they have all sorts of plans. You can check your coverage there no matter where you live. And most importantly, get involved. Check out the map. Find out when early voting is. Find out the deadlines for registering to vote. We have got to get out the vote. That's our job right now, is getting people out and getting them registered. Danielle, always appreciate you, and we love the partnership with Patriot Mobile. Thanks now.
All right. Thank you.
All right. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Promo code Todd, by the way, gets you free activation. All right, folks, that is going to do it. Want to thank all of you for hanging out with us. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.